A life without challenges is a mediocre life. Because we grow through challenges, right? If you never challenge, you never grow. Then you'll just fossilize where you are. Now, I don't know who wants to fossilize. That's not me. But I believe we are in the right place. And we're on the right track.
Amen.
Even if you have trouble. You're on the right track. Sometimes you wonder, you know, everything's going wrong. I must be on the wrong track. Well, not necessarily. Well, obviously, sometimes, you know, we make decisions that afterwards we reap the consequences of. Maybe I should say that most of the troubles we have are actually just the consequences of things we did wrong yesterday. But there's an enemy out there, and he's involved. He's involved, and he gets in on the mix as well. And that complicates things. But there's an answer to that. We're going to look at that this morning. There's an answer to that. And I'm going to read from 2 Timothy. You can follow me on your bulletin if you have one. Follow me on your bulletin. From 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we read from verse 10. Just the two verses there. And this is where Paul, he's just handing over responsibility to a young minister who's just starting out to pastor a church. And he's giving him, in both 1 and 2 Timothy, he's giving him good advice and help so that he will do well. He's teaching him a lot of good things. And this is part of that. He says, but you have followed my teaching, my conduct, and my purpose in life. You've observed my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance, my persecutions, and my suffering. So everything is in there. All the good things, some few bad things as well. You know all that happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the terrible persecutions I endured, but the Lord rescued me from them all. The Lord rescued me from them all. Now, bad things happen to good people. And sometimes things go wrong just because you're trying to do things right. There's an enemy there who doesn't want you to do things right. And he'll work very hard to hinder you, to stop you, put some obstacles in the way, slow you down and stop you if he can. He'll be there. And that's what the Apostle Paul found. Boy, if you read about his life, the amazing things that the Apostle Paul accomplished in his life, reached, planted churches in all the regions there, all the countries, all around Europe and everywhere he could go. He planted churches in his life. Yet, the obstacles that he endured, it's amazing that while a man is busy doing some good things, he has to endure some pretty bad things. And so we touch on a few. In Antioch, he refers to three places there, Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. In Antioch, the Jews became angry when the Gentiles received the gospel. They were jealous. And they had to run away. They had to flee because they were coming after them. They had to flee out of the city. They actually drove them out of the city. And we read about that in Acts chapter 13, verses 42 to 52. At Iconium, the Jews threatened to stone them. And they had to flee. They had to get out there. They wanted to stone them. At Lystra, a wonderful miracle took place when a lame man was healed. And the whole city became in uproar. And they actually wanted to worship them. They brought some things there to worship Paul and Barnabas. And they thought they were gods from heaven that came when they saw that miracle. Yet when the Jews saw that, they became very angry and actually stoned Paul. They stoned him and left him for dead. And this is what he's talking about when he encourages Timothy. He said, you've seen all these things. You saw my endurance. You saw my faith in action. You saw my love for the people. You've also seen the persecutions. I've been through all these persecutions. And that's not all, friends. Let me tell you something. There are other places where Paul talks about what he went through. How he was beat with rods. 49 stripes, three times. 49 stripes. He was in shipwreck. How many times? Three times, I guess. Spent a day and a night in the deep. Hungry often. And cold. So, but he never lost purpose of his life. He never said, well, these circumstances push me out of the will of God. And now I have to go and do something else that's a lot easier. No. No. He had his purpose. He went after it. And while you do some good things, you may experience some bad things because out there is somebody who doesn't want you to fulfill your life's purpose. And you know that every one of us came with a purpose. We didn't come here just to spend time and die, try to survive and die. No, we came here for a purpose and a reason. And that reason, hopefully, if we're very smart, will live longer than we do. That purpose. So we can leave some things behind that will affect the next generation. Hopefully that will be more than a tombstone to tell people that we were here. Right? We're going to leave some things that people that can bless people long after we have gone. That'll be a good, productive life that produced some good things. Now, we can go to Psalm 18 in our Bibles, or you can follow me on the bulletin. David shares some of the things that he went through. Now, he was already anointed to be the next king, but Saul was still in office, and he went after him, and he pursued him, and he wanted to kill him. He didn't like him, and so he wanted to kill him. And now David shares here in the Psalm 18, how scared he was. Can you imagine when a king comes after you? When a king comes after you with the army to get you, you get scared. You get scared. And he talks about that. Says there in verses 4 and 5, says, the pangs of death surrounded me. The pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. Boy, he saw death coming for him. And he felt surrounded. He felt surrounded. How many times have you felt surrounded by trouble? Just besieged. You look at your circumstances, and there's just no way out. I've been there. I look this way. No, there's no escape here. Look that way, door is closed. Try this, try that, nothing works. Everything, we're surrounded. The devil likes to surround people. He likes to besiege people and fence them in so that they will find no way out. And that's the best way to keep you down and make sure you live a low quality life, that you don't accomplish your purpose. And you never accomplish anything for God or anybody else. You just fenced in. You live a small, insignificant life. And that's what he likes. But God did not put you on the planet to live like that. I believe God made you for greater things. Amen. And he has greater plans for you. He equipped you well. Amen. To do greater things. Not to waste your life on things that don't matter, but to live lives that do matter and that will bring satisfaction to you. And that's the kind of life that God had for David, but the enemy didn't like that, so he tried to fence him. He surrounded him, sent the army after him, just so that David could not fulfill that anointing that God placed upon his life. And you know what? He fought those enemies. He made sure that he was not directed or influenced by what went wrong, but rather by what God wanted him to be. Now, we can be easily be influenced by what goes wrong in our lives, but God wants us to fulfill our God-given purpose. That's the only place where there's real satisfaction, you know, when we live a life of purpose. Amen. Not just come and waste life, the precious life that we have. We only have one, you know. And you don't get a second chance on it. In Psalm 34, King David says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many. Maybe you've already experienced that. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. He delivers them out of them all. So if you have afflictions that you endure today, that's not the way you're going to stay. The Apostle Paul said the same thing that David found. The Lord delivers us out of them all. All of them. Every one of them. Now, we need to be careful how we respond to things. We need to be very careful how we respond to things. Because sometimes when we face a problem or we have some trouble, we tend to think it's here to stay. Some people look back at their generations past and they say, well, we've always been like that. We've always had this kind of trouble or that kind of trouble. And that's just the way it is. And then they try to bring in generational curses and stuff like that. Listen, if you're born again, you're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Amen. That root was cut. You're grafted on the olive tree now. You're not part of the old tree anymore. You're grafted onto the olive tree and you're on a different root now. And you need to forget what past generations did because they had nothing to do with you. God wants to deliver you out of them all. But you need to turn your eyes from the back to the front and look to the future, not to the past. The solution is not in the past. It's in the future. That's where God wants you to look. Look at the future. Look to the future. Now, we live in a broken world, as you probably have found out. And maybe I should say we live in a breaking world because it continues to fall apart. And very fast, so. Very fast. I said to Gerda yesterday, I said, you know, while we're looking at the news and things that are happening in the world, I said, you know, it's amazing how almost week by week we see how things deteriorate. Almost on a weekly basis, it's happening too fast. There are too many scandals. People can't keep up with them anymore, so nobody cares anymore. There are too far too many. It's overwhelming. And that's the world that we live in. And sooner or later, that brokenness will come to you. This breaking world, this broken world, will have its effect on your life. And it's very hard in this kind of environment to live a perfect life. Well, hopefully you found out by now that life is not perfect and there are no perfect people. And if you are perfect, then you're certainly at the wrong place today because this is not the church for the perfect. And some things will go wrong. In your life, some things will go wrong. You know, sometimes people ask me, you know, why is it that things go wrong? You know, where's God in all of this? Where's God in all of this? I remember an old sister came to me and very disappointed to find out that now that we're in the arms of Jesus, we're not perfectly safe. Well, it depends on you. We'll get to that. But you need to understand there's an enemy out there, and he doesn't like you. And he's going after you. It would be naive to think that the enemy is not looking at you and how he can trip you up. That would be naive to think so. Be very naive to think that you have no enemy, because you do. And he's looking at you and he's after you and he's working to trip you up and make you stumble. He's working very hard. He's working much harder than you may realize to trip you up. Therefore, no wonder the Bible tells us that we need to walk circumspect. Circumspectly, which means you need to look all around, all the time. And there are weaknesses inside of you that you need to protect. Because that's where you will probably find a way into your life. Weaknesses of the flesh, temptations that you love to yield to, it will trip you up and distract you from the way you need to go. There are such places in your life, and the enemy knows them. He knows those places, and that's where he will come and try you and test you and put you under pressure. There may be those crises that you deal with, some of them on an ongoing basis, health issues that just won't go away, financial issues that just will not go away, issues in the family, issues with relationships, all kinds of things. Trouble at work, trouble in the neighborhood, all kinds of issues that are there to distract you and discourage you and bring it to a place where you will doubt the goodness of God, the presence of God, where you will doubt if God is even interested in you or if he even knows about you. And that's the whole purpose of it, is to bring you to that place. Now, sometimes, very easily, we begin to think that there's no way out. Even if you focus on just one problem, but you make it your focus, you'll feel surrounded. Just because one problem that you have, it becomes so big because it takes all your focus and all your attention, and you have time for nothing else then focus on that one thing. Instead of looking around you and realize that you're not really surrounded, there are ways. The good news is this: even if the devil surrounds you, the way up, the way above you, the way to heaven can never be closed. There's one thing the devil cannot stop from coming to you, and that's the love of God for you. He cannot stop that. He can cut off your finances. He can attack your health. He can do some other things. But he can never stop the love of God coming to you. And that is where your strength is and your power and your victory. Amen. Is by knowing that. That even if you go through this, imagine the Apostle Paul being stoned and left for dead. What you can wake up thinking about that. He stoned me. He wanted to kill me. I almost died. What kind of a mindset you can come out of that with? Coming out of a problem situation and make decisions based on that. Apostle Paul was focused on what he knew he was called to do, and he did not allow anything to distract him. Now, God made a promise, and he said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Jesus said, I will be with you always. I'll never leave you. I will not leave you orphans. He sent us the Holy Spirit, and he said, he will be with you forever. Never goes away. Never leaves you. He never leaves you. Now, these are things that we need to know. Even if we are in a difficult situation, we need to know these things. We can't forget these powerful truths, because God gave us these truths that we will know. even if we do feel surrounded, feelings are very seldom accurate. They change. You feel like this in the morning, you feel like that in the afternoon. Today I feel surrounded. I feel besieged. I see no way out of this. Well, you may feel like that, but the truth is, God is still with you. He hasn't left you. Now, sometimes when things go wrong, your friends may leave you, but God never will. People will leave you, but God will never leave you. He will always stay with you. Now, what I found with the Apostle Paul is that his encouragement to Timothy would not have the power that it had without those experiences. If I stand here and I never had a challenge in my life, and I tell you, well, don't worry, it will be all okay, why would you believe me? But if I told you where I have been, what I have endured in life, and that how God every time delivered me out of those situations, that adds value to my testimony. And so what you are going through really determines the value of your testimony. The bigger the problem, the bigger the victory. The bigger the testimony. But you don't have to stay there in your problem. While you go into that, while you experience all of that, what you need to understand is God is busy making a powerful testimony here. That is what's happening here. Amen. This is not a defeat of the enemy. This is a victory in disguise. And God's going to pull us out of this because He said so. I was amazed at times, you know, especially when we were missionaries and we went through some very, very tough times. And typically human, I would think, well, God can use this channel or He can come this way and help us out or that way. And, you know, He did not come any of those ways that I thought He would. But He found a way. He found a way to come and help us. He found a way. You know, I remember that one month we were financially, there was nothing. We had two small boys. We had nothing. There was nothing in the house. Absolutely nothing. And I don't know what to do. We're in a foreign country. We're not allowed to work there. Our supply comes from heaven. And till this day, I still don't know where the money came from. But when we get our mailbox in Europe is in the outside wall of the house. When I opened that door, there was 30,000 francs, Belgian francs, cash. I don't know who put it there. I have no idea. I have no idea. Another time, we went through some difficulties and someone sent us money from South Africa. Belgian francs, all the way from South Africa. At the right moment. When I have a problem, I look back and I say, you know what? I've been there, and I've been there, and I've been there, and I've been there. And every time, the Lord helped me out. Amen. He'll help me out of this one too. Amen. He never failed me once. Why will He fail me now? So my testimony becomes my strength. And the trouble that I had back becomes my encouragement of today. And so when you go through discouragement today, don't despair. Because God is working something out that you can draw strength from in future. Don't just sit there and think, I'm going to sink here. You will only sink when you believe it. When you give up hope, when you turn your back on God, that's when you sink. But when you hold on to this truth that God says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, I will always be with you, you will always pull out of it. You'll never sink. trouble is not necessarily a bad place, you know. It's just a perception. It's just a perception of the unrenewed mind. And we look at the Apostle Paul, you know, it's probably most Christians and certainly most preachers will tell you the greatest man that everybody looks up to, which is a normal human being. You look up to this man, the courage that he had, the knowledge that he had and imparted to us, the walk he had with God as an ordinary human being is something that still inspires us today. Thank God. When Paul was spending the night and the day in the deep, he didn't give up, because then we would have been a lot poorer. But because he did not give up, we have inspiration to draw from. Now, you go through some things, and the people around watch you. They know what you're going through. Tomorrow, they'll know where to go when they have trouble, because they will also see the victory. Apostle Paul said, "You've seen my faith. You've seen what I have endured. You've seen that. But you've also seen that out of all those things, the Lord delivered me." You've seen that too. And so now people look at you and they see what you go through. They also want to see the deliverance when it comes and draw strength from that. So I want to tell people, don't run away from your challenges. Don't dodge your troubles. Face them. Don't dodge. There's no victory in that. Keep on running. Once you begin to run, you never stop running. You cannot start running from trouble, because you'll keep on running for the rest of your life and never accomplish anything. There comes a time when you need to dig in and say, this is what God says, and whether I stand or fall, this is what I hold on to. Sometimes you're on the spot. The devil will put you on the spot. And the lights may be shining on you, and all the eyes may be on you. And boy, that's a tough place to be in. But don't forget, God's still with you there. And he will bail you out every single time. He will come and help you out of your troubles. If you feel surrounded, you feel the enemy is all around me, I have a verse that you need to think about in Psalm 34 and verse 7. It's there in your bulletin. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. So, here's a truth that comes from the Word of God. You are surrounded by the presence of the Lord at all times. And if the enemy thinks to surround you, he's going to have to deal with that. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. I want to read a few verses there from Psalm 18. We just touched on one or two. But there are some things that I believe we need to look at. Psalm 18 in your Bible. And it says there in the heading, a psalm of David, the servant of God, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. Now, he actually made a song of that. I don't know how many of us will make a song after we've come through some serious trouble. But that might be a good idea. It says, I will love you, Lord, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God, and he heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, before his ears. Now, I know a lot of people, when they go through trouble, they will cry out to everybody around them, but not to God. That doesn't help. Doesn't help. And they run around and tell everybody their troubles, but they don't tell God. Now, that doesn't help. Sometimes people go around and tell all their troubles just to justify them for failing at life. Come on now. Well, I have this problem. I have that problem. I think my spouse is my problem. We have found out that as we do teachings on marriage and so on, often, or most of the times, when people complain about their spouse, they're the problem themselves. They want to change their spouse, but the one that needs to change is them. Don't look at me like that now. Everybody would like to change his spouse, but nobody wants to change himself. Well, even if you change your spouse and you don't change, there'll still be trouble. Psalm 34. It gets too hard. Let's move on. The single people are very happy now. Psalm 34. Now look at this one. In the heading there it says, a psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Very interesting story, because he was caught there by Abimelech and he kept him there. And then David pretended to be a madman. And so he came and they brought him before the king, and he was drooling out of his mouth. His beard was soaking wet. And the king said, don't we have enough mad people here? Why do you bring this one here? Send him back. That's where this psalm comes from. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Not some of them. He delivered me from all my fears. Boy, he was in deep trouble. When he was in the power of another king, he was in deep trouble. Verse 5, they looked to him and were radiant. Think about that. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. He cried out to God. Now, don't cry out to people. They can't help you. God can. Put your faith in God. Don't put your faith in people. Don't put your trust in people. Learn to put your trust in God. It'll one of the best things you've ever learned. You can learn to put your trust in God. Make him your Savior. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Thank God for that. To find that out, he encamps all around us. He's always there. Jesus himself said there in John 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. And you can have peace while you have trouble, because you know who encamps all around you. You know who surrounds you. You know who is with you and will never leave you, even if you go through some difficult times. In the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. I want to close with one more verse there in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And it's a verse that we all know. Romans 8 verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Everyone has purpose. All things work together. And so when you feel surrounded, don't feel everything is working together to defeat you. Say no. All things work together for good. This bad thing is going to turn into a good testimony. The moaning becomes a testimony. And there is nothing that you have to fear when you know God is with you. And you don't have to be perfect. It's not something that you earn because you've been so good. It's simply this one reason: God loves you. That's the only reason. There are two things that we, let's say, two conditions that we need to understand. It's your will and God's will. And don't let those two become in conflict. If your will goes against the will of God, you've got trouble that you won't be able to handle, and God's not going to help you. Don't go against the will of God. Don't go against the one that you expect to help you. Don't run away from the one that you hope will help you. Run to Him. Don't run away from Him. Run to Him. He's your helper. He's your salvation. He's your strength. He's your hope. Don't run away from Him. And be willing to submit your will to His will. He knows best. I don't know if you agree with me. If you don't, you'll find that out. God knows best. Submit your will to His will. And you will enjoy that peace that He's talking about. He knows the future better than you know the past. And He knows what's waiting down the road. He knows. And the safest place you can ever be in is right in the center of His will. And don't come and try and philosophize with Him and argue with Him and reason with Him or debate Him. You're not going to win. I need to say that on the tape. He's a lot smarter than you are. And He wants to protect you. That's why He tells you, do this, don't do that. Don't do that. That's going to hurt you. Don't do that. Do this. He doesn't say that to rob you of your joys of life. He says that to protect you. And because He wants to deliver you. And keeps you safe and prosper you in all things. Let's all stand. Father, we thank You for Your word that comes to us as often as it does to encourage us, to teach us, to show us that You care about us so much. And Lord, we place ourselves before You in Your hands, Lord. We thank You that we know we come to a loving Father. We don't come to a God that's ready to punish us, but we come to a loving Father who cares about us. Lord, I pray for those this morning that may be going through some difficult times. I pray for those that have issues to deal with, and they may feel surrounded and besieged and walled in by trouble and difficulties. Closed doors all around. And I pray today, Lord, that they will see the wisdom of crying out to you and yielding to you and understanding that you encamp all around them and that you will deliver them out of all their trouble. Thank you for the peace that is our portion in you. We honor you. We bless you. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.